Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode here at the Damage Report. Today is a Thursday, Mystery Guest Thursdays. Who do we have for you? You'll be very excited to find out. Viviana Vigil returns. Viviana, how's it going?
Hi, John. I'm excited to be here as usual.
We're glad to have you back. Before the show, we were chatting about some recent animal troubles that you've had. Yeah. It's important that you bear in mind that animals are innocent.
Yeah. No animal was harmed.
Exactly. No animals are harmed. We were talking on the pre-show about the manatee die-off that's happening in Florida right now. It is a rough time to be a sea creature. That's been a consistent part of our news coverage for the past few weeks. So maybe as humans, we should do something about it, but probably not. Anyway, great to have you here, both you, Viviana, as well as you in the audience. Thank you for being here. Please hit the like button and share the stream if you haven't already. And as we go through the next hour and a half covering things as diverse as details on the infrastructure bill, as well as responses from some progressives, updates on the vaccination effort around the world, as well as Meanwhile In, which will be coming up to close out the show. We've got news from around the world. We've got news from outside of the world. So a lot to look forward to. And you can send us messages and comments and tweets and all that, and we'll respond as we go. But with that said, Viviana, you ready to do this thing?
Do it, John.
Okay, let's get into it. The bipartisan infrastructure bill isn't gonna have much that really excites progressives, but supposedly the reconciliation bill just might. And I recently watched a video with Bernie Sanders explaining what he thought about it, and it gave me a little bit of hope. Here is some of what he had to say.
Under the proposal we are bringing forth, no family in America would pay more than 7% of their income for childcare, universal pre-K, free tuition at public colleges and universities. This legislation ends the international disgrace, Chris. We're the only country on earth that doesn't provide paid family and medical leave. We're gonna end that. We are gonna deal in the most aggressive way imaginable with the housing crisis, where you got 18 million families paying 50% of their limited incomes on housing. We're dealing in the other bipartisan bill with the physical infrastructure. And of course, we are making the largest investment in this country's history in transforming our energy system away from fossil fuel to combat the existential threat of climate change. Also, I should tell you, we are investing tens of billions of dollars in something that I personally am very excited about, and that is a civilian climate corps. We're going to give hundreds and hundreds of thousands of young people who believe passionately and the need to reverse climate change, the opportunity to earn good pay and get an educational benefit as well to help us combat climate change. So add it all together, you know what, in my view, this is probably the most consequential piece of legislation since the 1930s.
Which is obviously a massive claim. I mean, that time period, you know, includes legislation like, for instance, the creation of Medicare and Medicaid. But he's saying this is on the level of something like that, a historic piece of legislation. And we will have some of the details for you shortly. But Viviana, what'd you think? Does it give you some hope seeing Bernie so fired up about it?
Bernie always gives me hope, and you know, that's, we need that so much. And I'm really glad that he's there fighting for us. I mean, in generations to come, we're gonna look back at Bernie Sanders and really just see what an impact he made. Even if some of the stuff, obviously he didn't get to the presidential office, but even some of the stuff that he's bringing up now, it's taking a while, but it's catching up with the population. And the more that chasm grows between the rich and poor, the more people are gonna be on Bernie's side.
Yeah, well, I mean, definitely, I think a lot of what is going to at least be proposed in the reconciliation bill, whether it makes it through the process, which is a very important part that we need to bear in mind. I don't think it would look the way it at least right now is going to look, if not for the presidential campaigns of Bernie Sanders, eventually assisted by a number of other great politicians. In the pre-show, we talked about Congressman Jamal Bowman's new Green New Deal for US schools. You've had versions of that sort of legislation for things like public housing, as well as a number of other policies being provided by, you know, Rashida Tlaib and Cori Bush and Ilhan Omar and others, as well as the Green New Deal itself. I don't think we would have had much of this outside of, you know, proposals for in activist circles, if not for Bernie Sanders. So him being cited does give me some hope, but it does not by itself mean that it's going to happen. There's obviously a lot of opposition to the will of progressives like Bernie Sanders. You know, as you said, he's not president right now. That is a demonstration of the opposition that stands between us and progress.
The coordinated opposition against these kind of bills and against politicians like Bernie Sanders. It is planned, the lobbyists make sure, pockets are lined, and here we are. And I agree with you saying that this would be you know, something likened to those FDR days where they created alphabet soup. It helps the infrastructure, it creates jobs, and it brings millions out of the unemployed workforce into really skilled labor and gives them an opportunity to grow. And also a pride, a self-pride of being able to do something that's good for the country, good for your family, and good for your future. I mean, what's not to like about it?
Yesterday, when we began talking about the reconciliation infrastructure bill, the details were sparse. Like, we basically knew that there was going to be an expansion of Medicaid to include dental, vision, and hearing, that sort of thing. And aside from that, there really wasn't much. Well, hold on to your butts, because now the details are coming in. Although I want you to bear in mind, as we go through these, and there are a lot, these are the things that are we are being told will be in it initially. That doesn't mean that they're definitely going to be in it, and it certainly doesn't mean that they will make it through the process of negotiation, because while reconciliation means that this bill can pass with just 50 votes, that does mean that you'll need all 50 Democrats, because there's not going to be one, almost swore, there's not going to be one Republican who's going to sign on to this. And unfortunately, some of the Democrats are basically Republicans. So
yeah,
we're going to give you a lot of good details here. Maybe some or most will make it through, but there's also going to be Kyrsten Sinema, and there's going to be Joe Manchin, and there's going to be John Tester, and there's going to be a number of others. So bear that in mind. But that said, here is some of what is making into the reconciliation bill, which you'll recall Chuck Schumer told us is going to have all the stuff that Biden wanted. So let's see if it does. So it's going to have tax credits. It extends the child tax credit, which is actually just rolling out today, right now, under the American Rescue Plan, the earned income tax credit, and separate child and dependent care tax credit. So that's part of the human infrastructure. In the area of climate change, it creates 80% clean electricity and 50% economy-wide carbon emission standards by 2030. More funding for a clean energy standard, clean energy and vehicle tax incentives, climate smart agriculture, wildfire prevention, federal procurement of clean technologies, and weatherization and electrification of buildings, which is actually a component of Jamal Bowman's plan for schools. It will also propose a new methane reduction and polluter import fees to increase our emissions reductions. So there had previously been higher regulations on the spreading, whether accidental or intentional, of methane. Those were destroyed in the latter years of the Obama administration. Obviously, Trump didn't do anything about it, so that would be good. We have other areas we'll turn to, but so far we got some tax credits. We've got some stuff having to do with climate change. Viviana, what do you think?
I just like how politicians like Bernie Sanders, they just pile it on. You want that? Here's everything we want. And we all know that we're not going to get everything, but you know what? Maybe we'll get something. And you gotta try. And in that negotiation window, you know, some of those little things squeak by. I think the child tax credit is huge. Obviously, it's only a temporary thing right now. I know Representative Katie Porter's really been out on her soapbox talking about how important it is, how millions of kids will be lifted out of poverty. And she's also trying to sort of challenge how single parents are being sort of regulated in that as well. So they're not able to get as much at this moment. So this is really important stuff. Family leave, I mean, this is all developed nations are doing this. So it really is an exciting time that it's even on the table, but it is disheartening to know for a fact that a lot of this is gonna hit the cutting room floor.
Potentially. I'm glad that you mentioned the extension of the child tax credit. I know that the right is, even as we're broadcasting this, attacking it. Fox News was going hard against the child tax credit right now, which just love. Like, of course, they don't like it. It costs money. and money that the government spends needs to come back in the form of taxes, and they're against that, even though like it's good, like so many conservative families are going to be aided massively by this. They desperately need that help. They're watching Fox knowing that they need that help, desperately wanting that help, but being brainwashed and thinking, oh yeah, no, these millionaires are telling me I don't deserve this tiny tax credit as I'm like desperately trying to get my kids to school and fed and all that.
That's capitalism. The sort of thing that, I was just gonna say capitalism has really put a lot of shame in being poor, a lot of shame in needing help. And we need to get away from that. We need to start acknowledging that everybody struggles. We need to acknowledge that this country and capitalism in general, predatory capitalism, keeps people down. I mean, these kids that this child tax credit is gonna help, it will change their life. It is a difference of putting food on the table, clothes on their back, I mean, basic necessities. And you're right, John, those conservative families, and especially the Christian conservatives, these are pro-life people. I mean, think of the children. Can't we just think of the children?
Yeah. And then, you know, once people get used to this, then let the Republicans try to take it away later. But they might. Anyway, other things included in the infrastructure bill, or at least that will be included supposedly, universal pre-K for 3 and 4 year old children, childcare and community college, increased funding for HBCUs, Pell Grants, paid family and medical leave, nutrition assistance and affordable housing. So that one bullet point has a lot of different things that were part of Biden's plans. It's 12 weeks, by the way, of comprehensive paid family leave as well as medical leave. So if you're watching from another country, you might think, wait, you guys don't have that? No, we don't have that, but we could. Seems reasonable. We're the best, we're rich, we're number one, but we don't have some of the basic rights and protections that other countries have, but maybe soon we could with this. Additionally, you have the extension of dental, vision and hearing benefits under Medicare, which we talked about a moment ago. Also expanding Medicaid coverage to states that haven't done so yet. So what they mean there basically is that if you're in one of the multiple red states where your Republican governor said, oh, you federal government, you want to give us free money to insure poor people? No, we don't want your free money. We're not going to do it. They literally did that and they've held strong on that for over a decade. Well, this is going to allow people in those states to access the benefits that they should have had for a very long time. So that is certainly good. There's other stuff with housing investments and manufacturing and a bunch of other stuff, but all of this is pretty good. You've got the civilian climate corps that Bernie talked about, tax credits for EVs and clean energy, community based healthcare. There's a lot of different stuff here. No word yet on the lowering of the age for enrollment in Medicare that had previously been talked about as being in, but I don't see that yet, at least in the proposals I'm looking at. But it's a lot of different stuff. Again, we don't know what's gonna make it through, but it looks pretty good so far.
Yeah, that lowering of the age, that was what Biden and Harris used to get into office. Oh, well, we're gonna lower it, we're gonna do this and that. Mm-hmm. But I wanna jump back into pre-K, nutrition assistance, free community college, Pell Grant expansion, all that kind of stuff. I mean, this is the kind of thing that we need to invest in our youth for, because it'll make us competitive with other countries. And you know, educationally, the United States is falling behind. I mean, we are not at the same level of other developed nations, and it seems like a basic thing. All of this seems basic, doesn't it? And you know, we're pandering to these companies. We're willing to pay the price with our lives and our children's lives so that these corporations continue to make money. The pharmaceutical corporations, these private colleges, you know, all of the people who are making student loans. I mean, it's out of control.
Yeah. And when you look at this, like this is all stuff that is consistent with what Democrats campaigned on, that Biden had said he would support. People obviously preferred this to 4 more years of Donald Trump. So I don't know, maybe it's radical, but just give it to them. Give them the things that you promised that are highly popular, that would be popular not just amongst your base, but many Republicans would love quite a bit of this. I don't know. I don't rule anything out because we live in a crazy country, but I don't think a lot of conservatives are gonna be like, well, I'm about to have a kid, I'm not gonna take my family leave. I will stand on principle against this commie BS. No, they would very much like to be able to be with their kids after they're born and not lose their careers as a result of it.
They'll take the family leave. They'll take a trip to Cancun and they'll still say it.
Yeah.
They'll still say it.
I feel like that example is Ted Cruz specifically, but I see what you're saying.
A little bit.
By the way, also really fast, I'm not gonna go super in depth in this, but the PRO Act is also supposedly being included. So this is another fairly comprehensive labor and working American rights piece of legislation that we've talked about quite a few times. That is supposedly going to be included, which is significant. Now, let's turn to how's it gonna be paid for? How are they gonna pay the bipartisan bill? Well, we still don't really know. We have a little bit more detail, but it's not specific. So they say there will be tax reform, including increasing corporate and international taxes, as well as taxes on the wealthy. And you might say, well, boy, John, that bullet point's vague. Yep, I don't know what that means. Increasing corporate taxes, well, to what? Are you increasing it by 0.5%, by 2%, by 15%? I would very much like to know. Increasing taxes on the wealthy, well, which taxes? How much? To what level? What are you counting as wealthy there? Because I know that this also says there won't be any tax increases on families making under $400,000 per year, small businesses and family farms. Okay, that seems fine and it's certainly consistent with what Biden has said about taxes, but you know, what are you counting as small businesses? How big can these farms be? I would love some definitions of virtually anything in here. And it's important, not just to see if it's actually enough to pay for it. And they say it will. They say it pays for all of the spending that they're doing here. But Joe Manchin has said, I'm not in favor of raising the corporate taxes again, even to where they were at just a couple of years ago. So how do you balance those two things? What number, how low is that number if you seriously believe that Joe Manchin is gonna be okay with it without you attacking him, pressuring him, criticizing him or anything? So yeah, Vivian, I'm still a little bit worried. We're getting more details, but they're coming in real slow.
And they're gonna come in real slow and then it'll disappear. But you know, going back to what these small businesses are, if there's any indication by how the PPP, forgivable loans, were rolled out, we were seeing people, even like influencers who are making millions, being protected by these kinds of laws. So it's gonna have to be a little bit more specific to really protect the people that need it. And not just this, you know, really general language that the people with money can access because they have the help with tax accountants, et cetera, attorneys to be able to find those loopholes. And so
yeah,
it's challenging. You know, God forbid corporations actually pay any taxes at all. Let's raise it from zero. Yeah, let's raise it a little bit more than that, I'd say.
Yeah. Well, we are gonna be watching every day. Obviously, we've been talking a lot about this infrastructure bill for literally months now. We're gonna be, supposedly, they plan to pass both the reconciliation package as well as the bipartisan bill by the August Senate recess. One might say, well, if they don't, can't they just not do their recess? Are you crazy? They get all the time off they want. Why should they have to work? They're only the greatest body in history. But anyway, it's supposedly.
God forbid we allow seniors to get hearing aids. God forbid we expand it so they can, you know, work on their dental plan. Because guess what? You need the dental plan more when you're older than ever. Hello?
That's true.
It's sad.
Senators need it? Yes.
Yeah, and they get it. They have different insurance, John. You didn't know
that.
Yeah,
they do have very good insurance. That is true. Okay, well, unfortunately, we do have to take our first break. But when we come back, we're gonna be checking in on the international vaccination effort, as well as one way that one really craven US-based politician is trying to cash in literally on anti-vax sentiment. We'll have that for you after this. Okay, but before we jump back into the news, and we do have a lot, I did want to let you know about a few pieces of programming that are coming up soon. If you'd like to see some Jordan Yule, boy, have we got Jordan Yule coming up for Yule. First of all, on Indisputable, coming up right after this program, you not only have Dr. Rashad Ritchie, obviously, but Jordan Yule is going to be the co-host, so that's very exciting. You can head over to youtube.com/indisputabletyt after this program to see that. Brandon Tatum is going to be joining to do a debate as well. Also coming up after Indisputable, you have the launch of Ray Actions with Ravana. co-winner of our Twitch pitch contest. So that show will be coming up at twitch.tv/TYT at 4 p.m. Eastern time. So that's very exciting. And then later on tonight, after the main show, you've got a chance to dive deep on Deep Dive with Jordan Ewell and also with me. I'll be joining him at 5:30 p.m. Pacific time. And they've apparently got some really tough questions they're gonna be lobbing my way, which I'm gonna be doing my best to respond to. So should be a lot of fun. By the way, if you are watching this and hearing loud noises and then commenting about it, we apologize. Viviana is broadcasting from the Death Star, which is being constructed around her as we speak. It's not fully armed and operational.
I'm sorry, guys.
It's okay. Someone was saying, is that a hungry dragon? And yeah. Someone said, I think it's Satan. It's just like a rumbling.
It's a jackhammer dragon, and it started right when we started going live. So sorry about that. I can't control. But you know what? We're talking about the infrastructure bill, and it is related. So
that's true. We wanted to create an ambiance of infrastructure. Anyway, with that, why don't we jump back into our news? Officials of the WHO are criticizing the early plans being worked on in some of the richest nations in the world to create booster shots for the COVID vaccine, while the vast majority of the world's population hasn't had their full inoculation, haven't had their first shot, and probably doesn't know when that's actually going to happen. So the director general of the WHO said that the world's grotesque vaccine disparity was driven by greed, which seems indisputable. With Dr. Rashad Ritchie, as he called on drug makers to prioritize supplying their COVID-19 vaccines to poor countries instead of lobbying rich countries to use even more doses. And this plea comes as pharmaceutical companies are seeking authorization for third doses to be used as boosters in some Western countries, which seems to me to be not just immoral when you have COVID spreading rapidly in many parts of the world that don't have access to the vaccine, would love to take it, have willing populations, but can't get it. Or don't afford it. And here we're like, let's create a third dose when there's like, we're running out of people who even want to take the second one here. So I'm glad that the director general of the WHO is pointing this out. It is a massive immoral problem. And the US and Joe Biden specifically could be doing a lot more to help.
These rich nations know that this is a contagious virus, right? It's not like, you just get to protect yourself and the virus doesn't morph and evolve into something that even your vaccine won't cover. You know, relying on profit-driven healthcare, it's a danger to everybody. It's a danger to the globe. Obviously, you know, famously, Dr. Jonas Salk, who created the polio vaccine, refused to patent it, refused to make it profit-driven. He was quoted as saying, there will be no patent. Can you patent the sun? And that's what we need to do today. We need to look at it as something that is gonna help us all. We cannot pretend we're in a bubble. You know, we already see the Delta variant, you know, bringing cases up here in California even and around the country. So this is something we need to really take seriously. And this is where capitalism goes awry. You know, you wanna say that we're the greatest country on earth, but at what measure are you doing that? How do you measure your success? Mm-hmm. I think we need to measure it by the most unfortunate of those in our own country. So we're not having success, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we're not having a great deal of success here in the US. It's a slightly different problem. It's still capitalism, but it's a little bit less the pharmaceutical companies and a little bit more media knowing that they can make money off of convincing people to leave themselves vulnerable to a fatal virus. But yeah, internationally, it's definitely greed. You're right. And I love this quote from Dr. Michael Ryan, emergencies chief for the WHO, says, this is people who want to have their cake and eat it. Then they want some more cake. And then they want to eat that as well. Yeah, these companies.
And we know what happens to those people. We know what happens to people that want
to. Yeah, they end up needing pharmaceuticals, actually. And these companies have obviously, look, they made the vaccine. That's great. You know, I'm gonna credit the scientists who made it rather than the CEOs who run companies like Moderna and Pfizer and all that. But that's good. That's good. And they deserve to make some money off of that. They were promised money. They will be given money. But now, they're just, they're one more money. Like, okay, so we got that. Now we need the booster bucks as well. And they have agreed. Pfizer and Moderna have agreed to supply small amounts of their vaccine to the COVAX program, the international effort to give it to countries that don't have the means or the access right now. But the vast majority of their doses still are reserved by rich countries, including upcoming doses. Nearly 60 poor countries have stalled in their vaccination efforts, and their biggest vaccine suppliers unable to share any doses until the end of the year. And the thing is, we here in the US, like, we had a little bit of media outcry and people saying, hey, shouldn't we do something to help? And you know, eventually Biden was like, yes, we're gonna provide some doses someday. Maybe a few at the end of this year, mostly next year. And as Viviana said, we can see the Delta variant starting to spread, starting to take more lives here in the US, certainly internationally. What is going to be left by then? And yeah, they'll need it. And I'm glad that it'll be available then, but it's really a crapshoot for people living in some of these poor countries, just hoping that they will survive long enough to eventually get the slow, reluctant aid from wealthy countries like the US and others.
Yeah, other countries are relying on masks right now because of the, you know, there's no access to the vaccine. And I hate being cynical and this borderlines on conspiracy theory, but is there a chance that these pharmaceutical companies want the virus to evolve? Because then they can continue to make boosters. They can continue to give you something that you need to stay safe. Something to think about.
Yes, I hope not, but they are certainly greedy and they are gonna want another slice of cake after the one that they're trying to prep to eat right now. Yep. Really fast, I did wanna let you know about the current level of success in vaccination. So let's throw up the countries that have done pretty well in terms of vaccination. We can show you. There are some countries approaching 70%. They tend to be small countries. So countries like Malta, San Marino, stuff like that, Iceland are countries with both good policy and small, generally geographically like easy to reach populations. But then you have some larger countries eventually getting down into countries both. You've got some South American countries, some Middle Eastern countries, the UK and the US show up on the list. Eventually Spain and Canada. This is where you're dropping down to less than 50% fully vaccinated. So that's good. Some of these richer countries have been relatively successful. If you scroll really far down on that chart though, you eventually get to countries where their position on the chart looks a little bit more like this. So let's bring that up. Okay, so you might say, well, John, the numbers aren't on there. How are they doing? They're nothing. They basically have no vaccination. That's what you need to know. It is effectively the same as 0% of the population having been vaccinated. There might be some limited supply that has gone generally to the incredibly wealthy and those who are politically connected. But in a number of these countries, they might as well never have had a vaccine. And those people are going to suffer and many will get hospitalized and many will die as the variant continues to spread. And we in the US especially, but in other rich countries too, have decided, I'm okay with that. I got mine, or maybe someday they'll get it, or they should have come up with it themselves. And we will just watch it continue to take lives and continue to spread and develop other variants as well, as you've pointed out.
And they won't be affected by just COVID either. I mean, COVID will put a stress on their healthcare systems and their hospital systems, yeah. And they're gonna be affected in so many other ways for their health. The children will be affected. And I think that's been a real tough thing, and the difference between, you know, the Spanish flu 100 years ago and of course polio, because children are not affected as much here with COVID. People are getting very, very callous about it.
Yeah. Well, why don't we turn to a different angle on this? Obviously, the failure internationally, which we're a part of, is one thing. But the US has its difficulties too, and it's thanks to absolute grifters in media and politics. Let's turn to that. No worries.
It's coming.
Yeah, sorry. I threw a bit of a curveball on them on that, but okay. Ron DeSantis, who eventually did learn how to put on a mask, although in that B-roll he was having a little bit of difficulty. He wants to cash in. Dude is trying to set himself up to be the next president. He's gonna need a lot of campaign cash to do that. So his team has got some new merchandise, and it really tells you what he thinks, not so much what he thinks about what's going on, but what he thinks about the base that he wants to accrue. So let's see, we've got this preview image of their store. Don't buy any of this. But they've got a beer koozie. How the hell am I able to drink a beer with a mask on? And Ron DeSantis with a beer there. Ha ha ha. You couldn't possibly slip it down for a second and drink the beer. See, it's stupid. Drinking beer is more important than having the mask. You get it?
Let's see.
It becomes more explicitly political with the "Don't Fauci My Florida" shirt, which, don't you just want to be a person or be near a person that would wear a shirt like that? Keep Florida free with Ron DeSantis there. Great image. Graphic design is my passion. It's just screaming from that shirt. And love my gov, which seems like a weird play for the conservative base you want to sell this to, that you've convinced government is the worst thing ever. They're definitely gonna wear the love my gov shirt. But anyway, we're gonna do a little bit of a turn on this to the reality of what's happening in Florida right now. But as a strategy for getting his base excited and generating some campaign cash, Viviana, what do you think about their merchandising plan?
It's as disgusting as he is, honestly. I mean, a beer cozy, you're talking about people's health. People are dying, not to mention drinking a lot of beer gives you diabetes and cirrhosis of the liver. That's notwithstanding. But, you know, I don't know that I would ever shake the hand of somebody who's wearing "Don't Fauci my Florida." What was it? What was it? "Fauci My Florida"?
"Don't Fauci My Florida."
Because Fauci's the CDC and Fauci also recommend washing your hands. So are you not doing anything that he says? Because I think I'll just give you a wave from, you know, 15 feet away, not even 6.
And do you really want to buy a shirt like that? I mean, presumably Fauci thinks you should wear shirts. Shouldn't you stick it to him by going bare chested everywhere you go?
Yeah, don't live in fear, people. Pressure. Why do you put shoes on when you leave the house? That's living in fear.
Yeah, if Florida were truly free, they'd be naked all the time. But anyway, here's the issue. So DeSantis, he loves joking about Fauci and about masks and all that. The issue is that regardless of the insane PR that you saw over the past year, Florida did really poorly when it came to COVID. And that is because DeSantis was, even in the best of times, inconstant in his willingness to support what the CDC has issued as guidelines. Occasionally he would do minor lockdowns and things like that, but then he would bow to political pressure. He cares much less about the lives of the people in Florida than he does his political aspirations. And if he wants to be the next Trump, he's not gonna be the guy that's telling you to just do whatever Fauci or the government says. That's why he's making shirts like that. And that's why, unfortunately, now, because we're not done with the pandemic, and they haven't been successful enough in getting conservatives in states like Florida to take the vaccine, it is starting to get bad once again. Almost 3,000 Floridians are being hospitalized each day, according to the New York Times, the highest number in the nation and the fourth highest per capita. New cases increased by 429% over the past two weeks. That's a surge only superseded by that in Tennessee, which we talked about their vaccination effort yesterday. So Florida has seen more coronavirus cases than most states, recording nearly 11,300 infections per 100,000 people to date. So that's what's happening right now. The numbers are going up once again, the hospitalizations are going up, which means in a couple more weeks, the deaths are gonna be going up once again. But that's an inconvenient truth. Far more fun to just joke about masks and joke about Fauci. He's the problem potentially for Florida, not these callous, craven politicians just desperate to get money and to have you vote for them in some future election, even if along the way it costs a bunch of your lives.
Where does the DeSantis swag, where does that money go?
I'm assuming to his campaign. I mean, it's being sold on WinRed, which is one of their big, it's Team DeSantis. It's got to be going into his campaign coffers, I would assume.
So nothing to help his constituents who actually do have COVID, who are being hospitalized and hurting. I mean, and we all at this point know somebody or somebody's mother, parent who has gotten seriously ill from COVID, has, you know, unfortunately passed from COVID. And even after they get better, if they make it out of the hospital, we're seeing months and months of people still on oxygen, really struggling. I mean, this is just the most callous campaign I've ever seen. Very, very sad. And these politicians will acknowledge that the virus exists. They just keep downplaying it as if it's, you know, something as minimal as a slight cold.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And look, he gets to make this choice. The people of Florida narrowly chose him as governor, thanks to large part of voter suppression, but whatever. So if he wants his legacy to be that Florida will suffer far worse and already has than it needed to, that's fine. The only thing I can hope to have some sort of influence on this is that people understand coming out of it that that's what happened. The idea that he would screw over Florida in terms of their response to COVID and then come out of it with people insanely believing that he did a good job is unacceptable. And all of us need to work to make sure that people don't come out of it with that insane belief.
I know.
Now that said, we are gonna take our second break. When we come back, these documents have been found from this meeting of Vladimir Putin and others in the Kremlin. We're gonna respond to those, as well as the abortion bounty hunting story coming out of Texas. We've been waiting to talk about this. Really excited to see what you think about it, Viviana. We'll have that for you after this. Okay, everybody, hold on to your butts. We're about to launch into a big one. New documents have been attained, apparently demonstrating that members of the Kremlin, including Vladimir Putin, had had a meeting back early on in 2016 and had decided to assist Donald Trump in becoming president. Now, I know you may be watching this and thinking, wait, we're getting these documents now? Didn't we? Haven't we been through this a whole bunch of times? Or you might be responding with, who is this going to convince at this point? And my answer is nobody. Absolutely nobody. In a very real sense, it's sort of irrelevant. He became president, he was president, and he's not out anymore. There's the small chance he might become president again. So maybe for that reason. And look, I have always said, knowing what is true and accurate is its own value. That said, when I saw this story break, I thought, oh, I just hate it. Because nobody who's been arguing against this, assuming that the documents end up being authentic, and I am not assuming that, they appear to be, but we don't know. Nobody's gonna change their mind anyway. That said, objectively speaking, it's significant news, so we're gonna launch into it. And here's what we know. The meeting apparently took place on the 22nd of January back in 2016, with the Russian president, his spy chiefs, and senior ministers all present. They agreed a Trump White House would help secure Moscow's strategic objectives, among them social turmoil in the US and a weakening of the American president's negotiating position. So again, regardless of whether any of this turns out to be true, some of that did come true. The US's ability to negotiate or desire to negotiate on any sort of diplomatic work internationally did degrade. Was there social turmoil in the US? Maybe just a bit. Along the way, and in pursuit of this, Russia's three spy agencies were ordered to find practical ways to support Trump in a decree appearing to bear Putin's signature. And we even have a photo of the meeting. Isn't that nice? That said, I don't know, and we're gonna have more details. We don't know about specifically what was done. Even if these orders are true, we don't know what the orders then produced. That said, this seems largely consistent with a lot of the theories about supposed aid between Russia and the Trump campaign, just now apparently with Putin's signature actually on it.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, John. It's not gonna matter to a lot of your just average Joes, not Joe Manchins, but your average Joes in the country. But you know what, if we learned anything by you know, that book, I Alone Can Fix It, there are people in high places that are listening. And not to mention across the globe that are paying attention to this kind of evidence. And there, obviously we knew a lot about this kind of stuff already. And Russia and Putin's main goal was to create division in the United States. He did in fact do that. And I'm hoping that with this kind of evidence and documentation to support it, we're gonna be able to prevent that kind of stuff in the future. So it does have some sort of validity. It does have something that, you know, can help us move forward, at least, you know, internationally and even within our own government and our own military, recognizing, because people that are in the military, they do want to protect this nation. And they do worry about those kinds of things, as we saw that was evident, you know, allegedly in that book, I Alone Can Fix It. So I think this is worth it. I'm glad you're talking about it. The more evidence we throw at it, the people that don't want to believe it, they're not going to believe it. But there are people out there that are interested in finding you know, cold hard facts. And I think that that's, yeah, this is what that is.
That's true. And there are always people who are going to want to actually know what's going on in the world. It's just that there are certain topics that get like, yeah, petrified with assumption and framing and narratives and all that. And it makes me sick to even like to have to talk about those things, knowing so many people have been poisoned against, right, the truth. And again, we don't know for sure that this is authentic. I don't know that we will ever know for sure that this is authentic. It's entirely possible that it is itself some sort of thing that's been leaked intentionally to assist the goals of the Russian government or whatever. I don't know. And I largely don't care. There's a couple pieces I think that are interesting, including when they really mock Donald Trump. So that's fun. So let's turn to that. In this report, which was classified as secret, it says that Trump is the most promising candidate from the Kremlin's point of view, which sort of makes sense. They're not gonna like Hillary Clinton, obviously. But they describe him as an impulsive, mentally unstable, and unbalanced individual who suffers from an inferiority complex, which, look, that's a couple of things. One, it's funny. Two, it's totally true. I mean, there's, yeah, nobody who's not already biased to love Donald Trump that doesn't think that's, right, true. But that said, like, do you feel a little bit bad for Trump? Like, you know, for no, whatever reason, whether there's, no, behind the scenes stuff or not, he really
immediately knows.
No, but hold on, let me make the case. He thinks that Putin and him are buds. And I'm not saying like behind the scenes secret buds like you might see. No, I'm just talking about like, they meet up, they have their meetings, and they seem to get along. And that dude is mocking him so much behind his back. That's mean. Be nice to your bud, man. That's your diplomatic bud.
I don't know that Donald Trump has any friends, any buds. Yeah, I think he's such an egotistical maniac narcissist that he just thinks everybody loves him. And if they don't, then that's their problem. So, mm-hmm, yeah, I guess I could feel bad for somebody mocking somebody from, you know, behind their back, but I don't immediately know.
Okay. There's one other thing I wanted to briefly mention. It is one of the big headlines that's coming out of this is, wait, did they confirm that they had blackmail material? Wait, did they confirm that they had the PP tape?
The PP tape. What
is leading people to say that? Well, there's apparent confirmation that the Kremlin possessed some sort of compromising materials, with the documents saying that Trump's earlier, quote, non-official visits to Russian Federation territory, and there are references to certain events that happened in Moscow. There are details in the appendix, but we don't have the appendix. So look, I understand why people might think that that's what's alluding to, but there's very little information. Like, I don't think you can take anything specific out of that. And again, all of that would be assuming that we knew that this is definitely authentic, which we don't and probably never will. So if you desperately want to believe that this confirms that there's a PP tape, which is not a path I want to go down mentally or emotionally, then feel free. To me, it doesn't seem to confirm that.
Plus, Trump has done things way more egregious than the PP tape idea. I mean, I wish that was it. I wish that was the worst thing that he did. But alas, yeah, it is not.
I don't think it's on the top 200, honestly. Maybe someday we'll make that list. Well, anyway,
not from the perspective of the women involved, but yeah.
That's true. That's not a bad point. Okay, so here's what we're gonna do. We're running low on time. This next story is gonna take a while. So why don't we jump to the F block? How about that, Sophie? We queue up the F block. But for those of you who think that I always skip the D block, that was the D block, and we just finished it. So take that. Okay. Anyway, with that, why don't we launch into our last story of this first hour? Things are developing fast in the area of hashtag Free Britney, with Britney both using the hashtag for the first time and for a very good reason. Her legal standing has changed. She now is able to have her own actual lawyer, someone that she has chosen. So just yesterday, she appeared in front of a judge during a plea to, once again, she wants to be removed from the conservatorship that she's been in. And the judge actually approved of her request to hire her own attorney for the first time, Matthew Rosengart. And so we don't know where this will lead. It won't necessarily lead to her being removed, but it does at least open up the possibility of that. And she seemed quite happy on social media about it, saying, coming along, folks, coming along. She has new representation. She puts up the hashtag Free Britney. She also put up a middle finger emoji there, which is pretty funny. But I mean, considering what we've been finding out recently, Viviana, this seems like a good development.
Yeah, it's Britney, bitch. Can I say that? It's a song.
You can actually say it. That's allowed.
It's an exciting time, not just for Britney, but you know, for any sort of conservatorship abuse that's going on. So, you know, with the legal world, and you know, you could talk to Adrian a lot more about this, obviously, but it all talks about precedent. So once you have that precedent, it can really lead the way. So this is a huge case for a lot of people who, you know, are even elderly, who are being taken advantage of left and right in this kind of circumstance. Yeah. So I'm excited to see where this will go.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm assuming as the case proceeds, we might find out even more about some of the restrictions, her mental state. It's exciting to see progress on this after so long. And it seems like it's been developing very fast.
Did you hear the audio of her letter that she read to the court? Did you hear the audio?
No, I read excerpts from it, but not the audio.
I did hear it. She sounded very lucid. I mean, you know, she has been sort of sheltered her whole life in a lot of ways, but this seems like a woman who knows what she wants and has been very clear. And so I'm super glad that she's had this opportunity.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, along the way, you mentioned there about her being taken advantage of and all that. And why should the taking advantage and the grifting and all of that end so soon? It's like we're playing Mad Libs with the news, but Matt Gaetz showed up and he wants to be involved. Here he is talking about the case.
Been abused by the media, she's been abused by a grifter father, and she has been abused by the American justice system. And so we need to come together and to create a federal cause of action, a federal change in the law that will free Britney and the millions of Americans who are impacted by a corrupt guardianship system that empowers people to take advantage of the weak. That is what we stand for, and that should unite all Americans.
Go away. Yeah. Hashtag free Britney, hashtag go away Matt Gaetz. What do you have to do with any of this? Why are you at an LA rally? You like attack us constantly. This seems to me, unless there's some longstanding thing where, I don't know, maybe he's been making YouTube videos about Britney Spears for literally years and how he wants to defend her. It seems like this dude is desperate to have his name associated with something other than the charges which might well be forthcoming in regard to him in the near future. So like he definitely doesn't need to be a part of this. By the way, Vivian, I don't know what Britney Spears' view of Matt Gaetz is. For all I know, she's a Republican. I honestly have no idea, but it's just such a random thing for him to tie himself to this case at this late date.
I mean, obviously he's capitalizing on the attention and the media blitz that's going around it. You know, I'm sure Britney appreciates any support that she's getting. I'm not sure. I mean, Matt Gaetz is pretty young, so you know, it wasn't an inappropriate crush, but I'm sure he had a crush on the little girl Britney Spears years ago, and that's probably who he still has in his mind. So of course he wants to go to bat for that.
We'll let the charges speak for themselves, okay? We don't have any evidence of him trying to Venmo her or anything. If it was there, we'd see it because he doesn't know how to turn it to private. So anyway, yeah, and he apparently insulted Jamie Spears too.
Yeah.
Just go away. Just so done with him. Just go to jail. And not in a like lock up all of our political opponents. I just want you individually to go to jail because you apparently have done a lot of work to earn it. Anyway. Absolutely. That is all the time we have with this first hour. But again, I did want to let you know that while we're going to be coming back after this short break with a lot more news for you, including a Meanwhile In. Also, after the show, you've got Indisputable, Dr. Rashad Ritchie and Jordan Ewell are going to be breaking down the news, which is going to be awesome. And even after that, you've got the launch of Ray Actions with Ray Vanna. So what's going to happen? I don't know, you don't know, it's the first time, but it's gonna be amazing. You're definitely gonna wanna check it out. That's coming up right after Indisputable. That said, we are gonna take a short break. Thank you to our linear audience for watching. We love your support. We've got more news coming for those of you on Twitch and on YouTube after this. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.